Hi, welcome to WhiskeyCast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 86 for April 8th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes, the highlights of this past week's Whiskey Live New York Festival. First, though, let's check on a few of the other headlines. 2006 turned out to be another record year for Scotch whiskey sales worldwide. The Scotch Whiskey Association reports exports rose by 4% last year. Malt exports were up by 7%, while blends gained 4%. The U.S. remains the number one export market with a 7% gain in value. Asian exports rose 2%, but the fastest growing regions are Africa, up 17%, primarily on sales in South Africa, and Central and South America, where exports rose by 24% on increasing demand in Brazil and Venezuela. William Grant & Sons is joining in the rush to build new malt distilleries in Scotland. The maker of Glenfiddich, the Balvenie, and Grant's plans to build a new malt distillery in Ayrshire on the southwest coast of Scotland, right next to its current grain distillery in Girvan. Whiskey historians will remember that site as that of the old Ladyburn Distillery, which ran from 1966 to 1975. The new distillery should be in production by year's end, with whiskey ready for blending sometime after 2010. By the way, Grant is also expanding distribution of its Innocent Gun Scottish Ale into the U.S. You may remember back in episode 62 last October at Whiskey Live in Toronto, Grant's Ian Millar told us about Innocent Gun. It's the cask-aged beer that was produced to season the barrels used for finishing Grant's ale cask blend. Well, that beer turned out to be so good that Grant's decided to sell it, at first in the UK and later in Canada. Now it's being sold at retailers and bars in the Northeast U.S. Another flashback now, back to episode 60, also from last October, when we heard from author and fellow malt maniac Ulf Buxrud about his new book on the history of Diageo's Rare Malts series. Well, this weekend, Rare Malts was honored as the world's best spirits book of 2006 at the Gourmand World Cookbook Awards in Beijing. It's a well-deserved honor, and congratulations, Ulf. Now for a quick look at the calendar of events. This is a busy week in Chicago, with events each night leading up to the Malt Advocate Whiskey Fest on Friday night. If you're on a flight between Chicago and San Francisco Saturday morning, you'll probably run into at least half a dozen distillers flying to the Whiskies of the World Expo that day in San Francisco. This coming weekend also features Whiskey Messe in Vienna, Austria, the Potstill Festival in Amersfoort, the Netherlands, and Whiskey Live in Lyon, France. Industry leaders gather next week for the trade-only World Whiskies Conference in Edinburgh, and the weekend of April 20th and 21st is the Whiskey Festival Thessalokini in Thessaloniki, Greece. Of course, there's a complete calendar of events on the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. This past week's Whiskey Live New York Festival didn't have any outdoor displays, unlike last year, and that was a good thing, because it was a chilly, rainy night, perfect for sampling whiskeys. There's no way to cover it all, but here are a few of the highlights. Last week's abbreviated episode had the results of the San Francisco International Spirits Competition. The new Beaumont 18 won Best in Show at San Francisco, and as you might expect, Beaumont's Jimmy Robertson was smiling.
The 17 Rui was our flagship, and no, there was a high risk, actually, even though we were slightly concerned. No, was the 18 going to work? But no, the award from San Francisco is just fantastic. It really kind of great sigh of relief and also kind of exultation back at Beaumont. The guys are happy. Yep.
What was going on back there when you guys heard about this one?
We knew we had put all the whiskies in. We had no, obviously we've won Best in Show before. There was really we believe in the 18. We think it's in a way a little bit more attuned to the American palate. We believed in it. We just had to see did the judges, but no, great blind tasting, and it comes out no Best in Show. So happy, very happy people.
Spirits writer F. Paul Picoult led the judging panel in San Francisco.
I'm glad, Mark, that that was on my panel, because I think our panel knew instantly that this was a whiskey that was just a cut above everything else we were tasting. And the interesting thing about San Francisco is the fact that companies send us their best products. So the competition is very, very stiff. But this particular whiskey, the Bowmore 18, just blew the other whiskeys out of the water that day.
Bowmore has something new in store for later this year. Actually, it's something really old.
We've got a reissue almost of a Black Bowmore coming out. That is going to be special. That's coming out late September. It's a 1964 42-year-old Oloroso cask. That's coming out, and then that's going to be fairly expensive, as you might expect. That's going to be about $3,500 retail per bottle.
Bowmore is also finishing off its series of special 16-year-olds with a new port finish version. This follows the previous bourbon cask and Oloroso cask 16s, and there's also a new 16-year-old from Auchentoshan on the way. Bernd Stewart has been expanding the Black Bottle Islay blend in Europe with a new no-age statement expression in addition to the 10-year-old Black Bottle. Now, Bernd Stewart's Allison Winship says the U.S. will get that new Black Bottle sometime later this year.
The brand was actually established in 1879, and we have an unaged variant that basically started 1879, and the brand was quite peaty at that time, and the brand that we're about to, or the unaged version that we're about to launch around about September time in the States, it is basically adapted, or it's the exact same as the original recipe that was produced back in the 19th century. So it's really, it brings us great pride. It's recently been repackaged, and on the new package we highlight the fact that it respects the original recipe. But the really nice thing about Black Bottle is the fact that it's got this lovely heart of Islay. The old packaging used to feature that, and it's one of the things that we've tried to capture. And in terms of the promotional material that you'll see around, it talks about it being this brand, kind of with the Islay attachment. And it also, because we own Bunahavan Distillery, it's really nice to, Bunahavan has become the spiritual home, so to speak. As you know, Bunahavan has this really gentle appeal to it, and that's used quite a lot as part of the base of this Islay heart. So it's a cracking blend, but one of the few blends that can actually, you stand up and be quite proud and confident about the fact that it has a unique selling message, and the fact that a lot of other blends, as you know, have a Speyside base to it. This one has an Islay base to it.
On the bourbon front, Four Roses has been a mystery for many bourbon lovers. For many years, Four Roses has only been available in Japan and Europe, and only recently in Kentucky. But now, master distiller Jim Rutledge is finally giving the rest of America a chance to taste Four Roses.
When we started bringing Four Roses bourbon back to the United States just a few years ago, we had enough inventory to focus on one area, one state, one market, and we chose Kentucky. For two reasons, it's our home, but more importantly, I think it was it's the most competitive of all the bourbon markets because of all the bourbon that's made there. And so we're learning, we're finding our way, we're going to take some ups and downs, and we're doing exceptionally well in Kentucky. During this time, we built our inventories, and this is fantastic for me to be here right now. This is our first introduction, effective the 1st of April. We're officially listed in New York metropolitan area right now, and this is the first of many new markets. It's a great time.
So you're finally getting out of Kentucky and getting out. How many other markets are you going to be in, or other states right now?
Right now, we're very small. We're going one at a time, and our inventory would not, and we cannot go national at one time. So we're going into the major metropolitan areas. I'd love to be in, say, Chicago, perhaps by the end of this year. We are looking at California, Los Angeles, San Francisco areas. Dallas is a great, Texas is a good bourbon state. Dallas and Houston are one or both of them. Miami, Florida. Denver is another great area for bourbon. So we're selecting these markets that we feel will make an impact. And eventually we'll get to all the states. It's going to take a while.
Four Roses will be available in single barrel and small batch versions, and I'll have more with Jim in a future episode. Last week I also mentioned that Old Pulteney plans to bring out 17 and 21-year-old expressions of its single malt in the U.S. I had a chance to sit down for a few minutes the other night with distillery manager Malcolm Waring.
The 12-year-old's been out since 1998, so we took the decision then to release the 17 and 21-year-old new expressions on the Pulteney theme. So we've taken this opportunity at Whiskey Live in New York to launch that and to hopefully let the American public know it's there.
What has the rest of the world been able to find out that we haven't until now about the 17 and 21?
Well, it's very well new. It's only been out this last couple of years, but it's traditionally the 12-year-old has always been matured in 100% bourbon. So we've introduced a wee bit of sherry now. So we've 17-year-old is about 10% sherry, and the 21-year-old is about 33% sherry. So brings a wee twist and a wee variation on the normal theme of Pulteney.
How are your sales going?
Sales are tremendous, actually. We're very, very pleased on how they actually are going. So this last few years, year on year, there's been very healthy growth. So we're very, very pleased about that.
And that's obviously a good thing for the distillery in a really small, remote area of Scotland.
It certainly is. We're very, very remote. We're in the very north of Scotland. There's 11 of us employed there, so it's a very large part of the actual community, not just with the employment, but all the spin-offs as well. So, you know, all growth on something like that in a remote part of the world is very, very welcome.
Tell me about your history. How did you get into distilling?
It was from a man called John Black, who is with another distilling company at the moment. It was John that introduced me to it nearly 20 years ago. So I've been all through the ranks. I started off as a mashman, a stillman, warehouseman, brewing, and then assistant manager, and now onto distillery manager. So,
you having fun?
I am. It's a tremendous job, but I really enjoy it. There's never a bad day at work. Just some days are maybe slightly better than others, but it's such a fun industry. There's so many people that are so enthusiastic about it. It's just great fun to work in.
What's the best part of working at a distillery?
I think the guys that we work with are, you know, a fundamental part of it. The distillery itself, the product, but also, you know, it's people in events like this really are really what makes it. You know, you put a lot of hard work into what you do, and then you come to a place like this and a festival like this, and you know then what it's all about and why we've done it. So it's great. It's very heartwarming, and it's good, you know.
Now, what makes Old Pulteney special? For those who have not tried it, what about it makes it a really special whiskey? I know it's up on the coast, up on the north end of Scotland, and I know you get some maritime elements in there. What makes it special?
Well, as you mentioned, we are remote coastal, which is part of the distillation of Old Pulteney. But fundamentally, we have a very small mash tun, very deep bed, nice, clear, bright wort from it. The uniqueness and size and shape of our wash still is within the industry. There's nothing like it at all. We have worm tubs as opposed to the modern condensers. So the spirit that we produce is a very heavy, oily, meaty, veggie, new make. So I think the distillation of all that is the uniqueness of Old Pulteney.
And where it's aged as well, right?
Where it's aged, yeah. Coastal location, the casks are breathing in strong, salty air. We're right on the very coast, right on the very tip. So if you look at it, open the warehouse door at the back there, and you're just sitting on the cliff edge, basically. So it's breathing in that, and it's taking on the whole flora of the coast of Wick.
Now, run through, if you can, the basic tasting notes for the 17 and the 21.
Yes, well, 17-year-old, we're about 10% sherry, so we've got a nice, rich, full-bodied, it's a wee bit more tannic than the 12 years old, but still maintains the Pulteney theme of floral, estuary, citrus. So we've still got that, so we're still maintaining that. The 21-year-old is about a third, so it's a bit more complex, it's a bit more heavy, it's slightly smoky, it's a bit more drier, nice, long, warm finish with it.
And anything else coming down the pike that we should know about?
Yeah, we've been looking to see what we have in the warehouse recently. So we've identified some, we've found some peated Pulteney. We've never used peated malt before, and back in 1990, it's actually 17-year-old at the moment, so it's residual peating from previous casks and some Islay casks. So it's turned out rather nice, so it's different, very unusual. So we'll get a few single cask bottlings out of that in the very near future.
What does a peated Pulteney taste like?
Well, again, you know, it's the uniqueness about Pulteney. You've still got that estuariness, floralness about it, but on the background there, there's very small phenolic notes, but it's so well balanced from a refilled American bourbon cask. Exceptional. Really nice.
You'll find a link to the Old Pulteney website at whiskeycast.com, along with links to the other stories in this week's episode. I'll have more from Whiskey Live in the coming weeks, including conversations with Bourbon Master Julian Van Winkle and Diageo's Evan Catnach. That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.